What's happening, guys? Pete back with you for an all-new edition of the Music Box Pete podcast. Hope you guys are doing well. On today's episode, I have an interview with Jonah Wakefield from Milk Street. They're this fantastic band. They're based out of Orono, Maine, just outside of Bangor. But I had the opportunity to chat with Jonah just a few days ago. And he's a tremendously talented musician, you know, him and the rest of Milk Street. So they're a trio. And in terms of, like, you know, classifying genre-wise, which has been a huge pain point, of course, you know, as you know me here on the cast, how to define them musically, I think they're a little bit of folk, a little bit of indie, but just sort of hits at that sweet spot in between, just hits really at that emotional cavalcade or that chasm that really splits into two. And Jonah chatted a little bit about it when we were chatting, and he really serves really an amalgamation of everybody in the band's musical influences. So we touched upon that, how the guys met, when the band formed, and just really it came across as, you know, just very laid back, serene, just, you know, just sharing different experiences in terms of, like, music related, especially, you know, they touched upon their creative process as well. But I think with Milk Street, I was just so eminently fascinated about them, and just, you know, hearing Jonah speak about, you know, how the band got started and just where the band, you know, draw influences from and how they go about creating music in the first place. I just found it incredibly fascinating, and just, you know, it's one thing to love delving into and really getting my hands dirty. It's just, you know, how everything gets involved. So we chat about that. He chatted about the recording of Milk Street's latest album called Vermont, which is out now on all the major stream platforms. Their experiences playing in Boston at the Mideast, which I believe was back in October, which I didn't get the chance to catch that show because I had a prior engagement that night. But they chatted a little bit about that, just their penchant for wearing overalls as well, too, which you can see in their band photos, which Jonah chatted a little bit about that in the interview as well. Plus, everything you need to know, and of course, what the band like to do for fun away from making music as well, too. So it's really something I just thoroughly enjoyed, and Jonah's such a super charismatic, you know, incredibly fun guy, and I just love chatting with him. And I hope you get to learn more about Milk Street from hearing this interview. So without further ado, here's my interview with Jonah Wakefield from Milk Street. Okay, Music Box Pete here on with a member of a band based out of Orono, Maine. Did a write-up on them a few months ago before their show at the Mideast Upstairs. Here to come on, I have one member of a band. Latest album is called Vermont. Here to talk about creative process. I'd like to welcome on Jonah from Milk Street. Jonah, thank you for coming on.
Thank you, Peter. Seriously.
Absolutely. So just for all my listeners out there, just give us your name and role in the band.
Yeah, so I'm Jonah, and I play guitar and I sing in Milk Street.
All right, so let's go back to the beginning a little bit and just talk about the formation of Milk Street and how you guys all met.
Yeah, so Gabe and me have known each other since we were 13, really earlier, but we became friends when we were like 13 or so. And I played guitar since I was like 8, and I only got serious when I was like 14, 15. But so he learned bass when he was like maybe, I think, 16 or so. But we started a band with our other childhood friend named Josh, and it was called Spaced. And we played shows here and there, wrote music. Really, when I was in college, we like would use that studio there as an opportunity to like kind of workshop how the songs were going to sound. And it was very haphazard and took a long time. But eventually released the album and changed the name to Milk Street and called the album Spaced. And then we released a few singles, and we played a lot. We got really serious and started playing a lot of shows all through Orono, and kind of built a following and made a lot of friends. And one of the bands that we played with a lot was called Borzoi, and this other band called Gunshot Glitter. But Harry, our now drummer, Harry, one of my best friends, he played drums in Borzoi and was a major songwriter in it. And then he fronted the band Gunshot Glitter, and he played guitar and sang. So when Josh was stepping away to go pursue college, and he does audio engineering as well, first person we asked was Harry, and I was like, you gotta come play drums with us. And he was all about it. He was so into it. So then Harry joined, and he's like become, we're like brothers. We could inseparable, all three of us. So that's kind of how this iteration got together. He had even filled in on drums for a couple of random shows. That's how we got to this point here for sure.
That's awesome. What types of music inspired you growing up, and how did it evolve over the years?
For me personally, when I was real little, all I loved was like Sublime and Jack Johnson. That's like all I listened to for some reason. And then I turned 12 or 13. In that time period, I got into Green Day and Weezer and all those classic, like, you know, the Pixies, really into Nirvana at the time. And then as I got older, I got way, way into Blind Melon. And my dad was a huge Deadhead and he loved Fish. And we used to even like travel around and follow Fish around with his, with one of his girlfriend at the time. She did like henna tattoos at festivals. So I was exposed to jam music a lot growing up. And my whole family is super into jam bands and they grow weed, the whole thing. So I kind of got back into that when I got to be like a teenager, I guess, really in college, I kind of started to like some of that again. Especially Blind Melon was a good segue for me into that. But then I got into a lot more like Alex G, Fiddler, a lot more like unknown punk bands and stuff like that. And then I really found when I was like 15, I found Modern Baseball in the Front Bottoms. And that really, really, really defined how I was going to write music and define me as a songwriter. That was when I really got into songwriting, was like 15. And I really buckled down with all of that. And Blink-182 made me realize I wanted to be in a band, but the Front Bottoms made me, got me writing music. And that started to mold how I would write. And then Blind Melon really started to influence all of that. And that's why Vermont sounds a lot the way it does. And if you listen to Spaced, you can kind of hear how I went from liking Green Day and writing those songs when I was 14, because Daydream I wrote when I was like 14. And that's very like a, like Green Day. And then Home is very much Modern Baseball, and I wrote that in college. And Coffee Cups is really Front Bottomsy, and I wrote that around that time period, 16 or so. Well, maybe like 17, I guess. But yeah, and then Spaced was the last song I wrote for that album, and His House. And those are the most mature, and those are very much less obviously influenced by something and very much me. Other than there's a part in Spaced where I ripped a direct part of a Front Bottom song called Wolfman. And my justification for that was that they had a song called The Plan, and they directly ripped a Built to Spill song, which I love Built to Spill. And I was like, if they can rip Built to Spill, I can rip part of their song. But yeah.
So how would you describe your sound to those who aren't familiar with you? Because sort of what I got from listening to Milk Street Sound, that's a little bit of folk, a little bit of indie, but it's sort of like really hits at the sweet spot in between. So it's sort of like an amalgamation of those two genres. Is that sort of how you would describe it, or would you characterize it a different way?
I always say it's like it's alternative rock and indie, and we called it Northeast emo for a long time, which, you know, you have Midwest emo and then you have grunge, and I think we were a good mixture of those two. But Vermont's really brought us into this different sphere, and we had someone in a magazine write that we were a sonic tapestry of Americana and Midwest emo for fans of Nirvana who don't realize they're hippies, is what they said. And I was like, that's a lot. Perfect. That's a lot. But I mean, the new record has a lot of like Violent Femmes and Pixies and David Bowie influence, and like Vermont did. And there is a lot of folk in Americana, and I tried to write folk punk songs really, but it became like folk songs, like Neil Young songs almost, which I love, and I love that they sound the way they do. But yeah, I don't really know. Harry suggested that we change our genre, because I had Northeast emo from Bangor, Maine, was written on all of our social media, and recently he said, no, we're piece of shit indie rock. That's the new music we're currently writing. So nice. So on our Instagram and stuff, and the current music we're about to release in the next year or so is piece of shit indie rock.
That's perfect. Describe what life is like up in Orono, Maine, and just sort of like what the music scene's like up there, like a little bit. It's a place I've always wanted to travel up to, but talk about a little bit what life is like up there.
It's cold, and
yeah.
And there's not much to do. And I think that's why we are doing this, really. But originally, it was just because there's nothing else to do. You just have to make your own fun. I mean, we used to like go steal shopping carts from the grocery store and just sneak out of the house in the middle of the night and ride around in groceries, like shopping carts rather. And we'd like sneak into the fairgrounds in town and we'd get like 30 kids together from town and all play manhunt in like the fairgrounds, and the cops would come and we'd run, and you know what I mean, the whole thing. Like this
Oh, yeah.
is very much like everyone's bored and either plays video games and smokes weed, or they go and do dumb shit all the time. And our dumb shit was being in a band. And don't get me wrong, we do a little bit of all the rest, but I mean, it music wise though, there's the music scene's up and coming. There's a lot of bands that pop up every day and disappear because it's a college town, Orono specifically.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of bands that'll pop up and they'll play a lot of covers, and maybe write three songs, and they'll record them even and release them, and then they'll never do anything with it again. And so there's a kind of a rotating cast of bands up here, and then there's some that really stick and stay, and we're one of them. Borzoi is another. Gunshot Glitter is another. There was a band called Skyline Drive, but even they moved away and stopped doing it. Dragged by Chains is a metal band up here. There's a huge hardcore scene in Bangor though, this area. Huge, huge hardcore scene. There's amazing bands from here to Portland, really. Portland, Maine is where the music scene's really at, and there's a ton of bands that are really serious there. I make amazing music, but no, Bangor was a hardcore town for a long time. And now it's, a lot of multi-genre stuff going on, but we're definitely one of the only indie alternative bands that are up here. And we're in every there's so few bands that every band sounds really, really unique. Like every most every band sounds very different than the others, because there's like one indie alternative band, one shoegaze band, one pop rock or whatever band, like one metalcore band or whatever. But there are a handful of hardcore bands that are all around here.
Nice. Let's go delve and go behind your creative process a little bit and talk about how you guys typically come up with music. All bands have their own traditional way of like crafting songs, but how does it usually work for you guys when it comes to really putting the songs, the thoughts to pen and paper?
I the everything up until now, I pretty much had written on acoustic guitar, at least a basic structure and maybe some lyrics, and I'd bring it to the guys and I'd say, "This is what I got. What do you guys think? What should we do?" And we just jam on it. We would just play it and play it and play it, and it would become its own thing. And then a lot of times in the recording process, we'd be like, "Oh, what do you think if I do this? Or this sounds here. I just thought of this." And it was all everything's been very organic and fluid up till this point. We try to keep it as it comes and as it flows out of us, for sure. But I the newest stuff that we've been working on, I really would only have like a riff or something, or I'd have like a little idea or a motif. Sometimes a lot of stuff that I could barely play. It's just some of it's kind of harder. And then Harry picked up the bass and was like, "Oh, what if you tried this, Gabe?" And then Gabe actually got on the drums, and then he was like, "Oh, that sounds cool." And then, I was like, "What at the bridge part? I don't know what chord I should go to." And Harry's like, "What if you go to this and then try this?" Because we all can play each other's instruments. So it's been a very much more collaborative process, which is really what I've always wanted. And I love, love, love how these songs are coming out. These are my favorite songs we've written ever. I've written a lot of songs and have a lot of voice memos that are unused, but this is like my favorite stuff we've had.
Awesome. Now, talk a little bit about what your live shows are like and just sort of describe the energy and vibe. And of course, I mentioned the Mideast show back in October, which I'm sure you guys had a lot of fun performing at. But just talk about, I could sort of you get a sense that there's just a lot of energy, but talk about what it's like for you guys and just what a whole Milk Street show is like.
I guess it's hard to say what a Milk Street show is like outside of our perspective. But from our perspective, we keep it, I try to keep it high energy. I try to just do whatever comes naturally. But we change songs up every night. We have enough songs, new songs, like where we can play a new one every night pretty much. And I think my favorite shows growing up were pretty punk rock. Like I like, mosh pits and a lot of dancing and stuff. And I way prefer when people are dancing and moving around for sure. And it was interesting because some of the newer stuff with Vermont was very like lyrically driven. So people were standing and listening as opposed to dancing and feeling. And that threw me off a lot. And I was like, "Do people not like what we're doing?" And then they'd clap and go crazy in the between songs. And I was like, "Oh, okay, this is just a different thing. They're just attentive as opposed to expressive." And I thought that was really interesting that I perceived it as, "Oh, they don't like it at first." But I think definitely there's a lot of dancing. There's been shows where people are crowd surfing recently, especially in Pittsburgh. In Maryland, someone brought out a shopping cart actually, and Harry got in it, and they were spinning him around, and people were moshing.
That's great.
It was crazy. Yeah, it was very fun. But yeah, I think we keep it attitude wise pretty punk rock, but it's a fun time. It's a big party. That's how I try to keep it. It's like a house party, a venue.
Yeah. And you also wear those denim overalls too, which is a big thing. Yeah.
For Vermont, that was our thing. Yeah, it's just we did a one photo shoot with shirtless with overalls, and we kept it for a while. Now we switch it up, but I'm the only one in the band. Excuse me. Harry is too a little bit, but I'm the one that I wear overalls regularly. Like, it's just what I wear. They're comfy and they got a lot of pockets, but yeah, no, that we did that for a while too.
Oh, sweet. But that leads into my next question about your latest album, Vermont. So, talk about what the whole recording process was like, because it's such a fantastic album, and just sort of it's all linear, then sort of the energy builds from there. But talk about what the whole recording process was like putting together Vermont.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Vermont was an album that really meant a lot to me lyrically, and was a it's really a time capsule to me for like that part of my life, living with my cousin that we were raised like brothers, and it was us living together and going on this like emotional journey together, moving out of our parents' house and stuff, and it meant a lot to me. And a lot of songs just became about that because it meant so much to me. And that's why if you get like a physical copy, there's actually a baby picture of him and me together, in the middle of the record. But recording wise, I kind of had all the songs not written, but I knew what I wanted it to be. I knew like how I w wanted that to play out. And when Terry joined the band, I was like, okay, should we go in this Vermont direction and have this? Would you rather us do this very personal album where I know how things I kind of want things to be, and I know the direction and the flow that it's going to have? Or do you want to start from scratch and make something together totally unique? And he was like, I would like to do the Vermont stuff. And he had just met my cousin and stuff, and he was like, yeah, that I think that I'd like to get an insight into like where you're coming from. And it was really hard to be like vulnerable, because Harry and me were friends, but we weren't as close. And Gabe, I was close with, he kind of knew all of it already. But it was hard to be like vulnerable. And I had to first be vulnerable in that sense with Harry before we did with people. And then with people, it was really gross feelings. So I was expressing something really personal very openly. And still do a lot of nights. We don't play some of the harder songs because, like, our album release show, the night we played a lot of those songs for the first time live, I got really emotional, and it was hard. So recording them every day, or not every day, but doing a bunch of takes of the lyrics was really hard. It was really difficult sometimes. And it was, but the recording process was not just for that reason, but some of us pulling teeth because we did it in ourselves. So sometimes I'd have to hit record and then run out to the room and play the part and then run back. But we did it as I recorded acoustic guitar, and then Harry would record drums. And then Gabe would record bass, and then I would go record vocals, and then we would record everything else on top of that. So it was very much overdub wise. The new stuff we're currently recording, we've found we have way more fun, and it's a lot more fun and a lot more successful sounding, I guess, and a lot more like it has a lot more oomph to it to record as a band live and have someone else record it and have them just hit record and us play how we would live. And we even actually had some people come up to us at shows, and it's just like a couple here and there, but we had some people come up to us in Biddeford, Maine, and say, I love you guys live, and I love how your album sounds. It's just very different. And sometimes it seemed like they almost preferred our live sound, and even the live versions of the songs. So it was kind of one of those things where we're like, well, let's just record the new stuff, what we're coming out with soon. Let's just record the new stuff, how it sounds live. Let's just go in a room and have someone hit record, and we'll play the songs. And it was like magic. It was like lightning in a bottle. And I'm really excited for how they sound and how and to get them out there. But yeah, I think that Vermont was a learning curve, and because of that, we've really gotten it gave us an opportunity to hone in on how we want to sound.
Do you have a favorite song off Vermont that really speaks out to you personally? One that really, touches your heartstrings and really grabs a hold of you that you really look back fondly on?
Yeah, and in an emotional sense, I Collect Records was really, really emotional. And I that song is just me alone in a room recording that. That's all me on there. And that was weird to do, and really hard because the lyrics are really emotional and stuff. So it's I sat in a dark room with a little lamp on in front of my recording console and had a microphone set up right in front of me. And I just recorded a bunch of guitars and sounds and vocals and stuff and recorded it that way. And it came out, I like how it came out. But I was most critical of it for sure. But that one's the most like, I look at that as like, oh, like that was the most raw and emotional. But in terms of like the band, I think I look back on like Peyote or Free Acid as like, 'cause that was the first time we're like, oh, we're a band. Like we're a good band. Like I like how we sound. Like I love this. And that I look back on and playing those, we play those songs live still, but playing those for the first time live, I looked at them and I was like, oh my God, like we're doing it. This is crazy. This is amazing.
What are we most likely to find you doing in your spare time when not making music and just sort of lounging with the guys? So what kinds of activities do you like to do just to relax and kick back?
For me personally, and I know Harry's the same way, I read a lot. I always read. I'm reading a lot of Kerouac recently and Henry David Thoreau, and just it bounces around, but I read a lot. I don't know, I do a lot of photography too. I like to take like do that, go hiking a lot and go live life, you know, like we go for walks or adventure or whatever. I think I find myself doing a lot more like it, I don't know how to express, kind of like how I said when we were younger we would go and just do shit and get into trouble. It was still that, but in, you know, in a lot more mature way. Like we'll go drive to a town nearby because the Maine's full of like weird little obscure towns. Just go and check it out for the day or whatever. Gabe makes a lot of his own music in his room and plays video games a lot and stuff like that. I know he likes that. Together we do just hang out and watch movies and shoot the shit and just whatever.
Oh, awesome. So what's come up next for Milk Street for the rest of the year? Talk about any plans, upcoming shows, new music coming down the road. So what can we expect from Milk Street for this year?
We definitely have one or two EPs, so at least two songs in each one. This whole year we're going to be working on an album that probably won't come out till early next year. But we do have two EPs, and then we have five tours, just about.
Wow.
Maybe four. We might combine, you know, it depends on how we stage them. But yeah, just about five, and a few of them are with some pretty cool artists that I really like. We're gonna be playing a lot with Brooke Pridemore from New York that I love. Rent Strike from Michigan, we're gonna be playing with a lot. We're gonna be playing with Sister Wife Sex Strike. Some others I can't quite say yet. But there's some really, really exciting. We're about to take the next step as a band for sure this year.
So how can fans find out more info about you online?
Definitely our Instagram. I do all of our social media and booking, and I post mostly on Instagram. I really don't like doing the TikTok thing unless it's really lighthearted and low effort. So I don't do that often. If you want to find out like what's going on, definitely Instagram. We do have Facebook. I do it on there. We have music videos on YouTube. We have all kinds of stuff out there, live performances and stuff, but definitely Instagram is like the spot.
And your music's on Spotify and Apple Music as well, too.
Yeah, Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube Music, Deezer, even if you're into that, Tidal, all kinds of stuff. You can find it pretty much anywhere.
All right. And we've reached the last question here. What is the one reason why people should check out your music?
Because you like piece of shit indie rock. I don't know. Because you've been broken up with. I don't know. It's hard. That's a hard question. It's just a sense of community. We try to keep it light and we talk about real stuff while making it sound light, you know? And I want to help people if I can. I want to make people feel less alone like my favorite bands did. So I think that's a good reason.
Yeah, I think that's what's the most important important part about music, sort of bringing people together.
Yeah.
So, well, Jonah, it was great to chat with you and get to know more about you and the band. But hopefully, we'll get to see you in concert sometime down the road. So, greatly appreciate you for taking time out to do this.
Thank you, Peter. Seriously, this is fun.
Yeah, awesome. All right, take care. Have a good one.
Have a good one. Thank you.
Take care. Bye bye. Thanks once again to Jonah from Milk Street for taking time out to do this interview. I just so thoroughly enjoyed chatting with him. And he really has this unbelievable presence and aura, from listening to him speak, where, everything just comes out freely and naturally. And it's sort of, with the music. And I caught a little bit of their YouTube, I think it was from the album release show of Vermont. So I caught a little bit about that, just to get a sense of what their lifestyle was at. And it is just absolutely frenetic, too. And just, I just so wish I was there at the Mideast that night. But I'm sure they'll be back in Boston again soon. But their music is just so different from all the other acts out there because, they sort of hit at that sweet spot where it's sort of undefined, that you can't really define them genre-wise. And I think that's the most important aspect of this band, is their ability to just sort of, leave it all out there for the listener and have them draw their own conclusions to it. But when you listen to it, it makes the sense in the long run, just how fun and engaging they are, where their personalities really come to shine. So definitely go and check out Milk Street. Vermont is out now on all the major streaming platforms. Check them out on all the social media sites, as they mentioned, and you'll definitely find something to enjoy. Trust me, they're really well worth the listen. And if you really take the time, it makes all the sense in the long run. Thanks once again for tuning in to the Music Box P podcast. See you soon.